Okay. What we're going to talk about today is rich people. But we're not going to talk, because we are rich as well. We're going to see that here. We're going to talk about the misuse of wealth. So we're in chapter 5. We're looking at lesson 11. We're going to look at the first 6 verses today. All right, let's look together. Let's look at verses 1 first of all. He says, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you." Okay, here's what he's saying here. James calls those who have wealth to pay attention to him. James calls those who have wealth to pay attention to him. So he's addressing his topic here to those who have some money, those who have wealth, those who have influence. Now, let me just stop for a moment, because this is the point in the lesson where some of you could say, "Well, you know what, George? I don't have any money. I'm struggling. I am not rich. I'm just going to shut down right now. I'm going to think about the game later on. I'm going to think about lunch. I'm going to shut down right now." I don't want you to do that. Because all Scripture is profitable for you and I, period. There is something for all of us to learn from here, because what we're talking about here in this passage is going to be about attitudes towards stuff. And we have a problem in America, and it's materialism. We all struggle with it. And this is what he's going to talk about here today. So don't just shut yourself down because you could say, "I'm not rich." Well, you're richer than somebody else, all right? So rich is a relative thing. Let's go on here. He's telling them to do something. Here's what he says. He calls them to weep and mourn with a spirit of brokenness. He's calling them to be broken, which is reflective of being of the weeping and mourning. He wants them to have a spirit of brokenness. He's calling them to brokenness. Why? Because they're going to be facing something here. They are to weep because of the eternal judgment that they're facing. He wants them to get realistic, because here's what can happen. I think every one of us recognizes that here. When you are needy, when you're in the midst of a problem, let's say you all of a sudden have a financial crisis happen, and stuff happens, folks. Bills pop up. Unexpected things, medical things happen. All of a sudden you got to pay your deductible and your other 20% stuff, and all of a sudden, you know, somebody hits you, and now you got to pay the deductible on that. And you weren't expecting that because it's Christmas now. Do you understand what I'm saying? And stuff happens financially. Everybody understand? Am I talking a foreign language? Does everybody comprehend? Does this happen to us? All right, so here's the thing. When you're in a situation like that, you could be praying a whole lot. You'd be like, "God, I need you now. God, help me take care of this bill. Give me wisdom, Lord. God, I need to win that lottery." For those of you who buy the tickets, okay? Do you know what I'm saying? "God, I need you to do something." Now, that's what happens when we're in need. But when things are going well, how in tune are you to God at that point? Yeah, Tom said it. You don't need him. In fact, you go on. In fact, if somebody were to talk to you and say, "Well, when's the last time you talked to the Lord?" "Well, you know, I talked to him last week." You know what I'm saying? Here's what he's wanting you to understand is that he's calling him to a spirit of brokenness, because when you're wealthy, in fact, Proverbs says this. Proverbs talks about that the wealthy can set up a wall of protection around them. Their money provides a wall of protection around them for the difficulties that will happen. But a poor man is overwhelmed. So when you have it and things are going well, you're not in tune to anything. And so what he's calling these rich people to is he's calling the rich listeners of this letter, when they would have read it, or the readers, he's calling them to understand, look, you need to forget about what you have and look at what's coming in the future. And there's a judgment coming. And that should bring you to the place of brokenness. That should bring you to the place of weeping and mourning. So he's calling them to brokenness. So then here's what he's going to do. Verse 2 and 3, he's going to point out their true condition. Okay, he's going to talk about where they're really at. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat up your flesh like fire. You heap up treasure in the last days. Okay, now what's he talking about here? Is there a true condition? He's going to talk about, first of all, the corruption of their wealth. He points out the true condition of their wealth, their stuff. Okay, let's stop for a moment. Folks, he's getting ready to talk about the true condition, not just of their stuff, but how about your stuff? The true condition of your stuff. All right? So he's pointing out their true condition. Here's what he says. He points out that wealth is unstable. Stuff, we can use the word stuff here, is unstable. How many of you have ever had an electronic device and you just babied it? You hardly ever used it. You wanted it to be, you told the kids, don't even touch it, keep your hands off of it. And then you very rarely use it. And then one day you turn it on and it goes on for a moment and then pff, it stops. And you wonder why. And then you find out that on the inside, some little wire came loose. And you're like, how did that happen? And you got to pay a bill to repair it. And then the repair guy tells you, well, the lack of use is actually more detrimental than using it a lot. You know what I'm talking about? Stuff is corruptible. Stuff will break down. It's unstable. So, okay, like for instance, we just experienced this back in 2008. We may experience it again here soon. You never know. So you got your 401k plans, you got your retirement plans and everything, and you got your nest eggs building up, and then all of a sudden you're like, I'm ready to retire. And then what happens? The market collapses, and you lose 50 or 60% of your value, and then you're thinking, when I'm 80, I'll retire. Do you know what I'm saying? It's unstable, isn't it? So you bought that new shirt. You went to Peebles or JCPenney's and you got it at the right price and you're styling and profiling now. Okay? And it looks really good. Till your husband washes it. And sticks it in the dryer. Do you know what I mean? Now your 10-year-old daughter can wear it. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I mean? It's unstable, is it not? But look at how we get upset about it. Don't we? Don't we? So he points out that wealth is unstable. He also points out that wealth is temporary. Man, we already know that. Just some of the illustrations that we've talked about in the instability of it. Wealth is temporary. Big time. How many of you ever said something like this? Boy, if I could just get a raise at work, then we'll be okay. How many raises ago was that? Do you know what I mean? And that question is, are you okay now? You're looking for the next one. That's right, Bruce. Do you know what I'm saying? You're looking for the next one. This is the point he's making here. He points out that wealth is temporary. All right? Let's go on. The corruption of their hoarding will be a testimony against them. Now, here's what he's saying. Here they are. They're accumulating stuff for themselves, they're using it on themselves, okay? They're not generous with their funds, they're not using it for the kingdom, for others, they're using it for themselves, and so they're hoarding it. And what he says is that hoarding of all that stuff that they buy for themselves and do for themselves, ultimately is going to be a testimony against themselves. Because all that stuff breaks down. You know, all that stuff breaks down. I mean, think about it for a moment. How many of you, I know guys are like this, we love new vehicles. know what I'm saying? And you get that new truck. And you pay it off. Or maybe you don't pay it off because you go get another one. Do you know what I'm saying? And just transfer the payment over. Endlessly. You know what I'm saying? How long does that new truck satisfy you? Does it satisfy you till the tires are blowing off of it? The fenders are hanging on by rust? How long does it satisfy you? When do we typically get tired of our vehicles? The first time there's a problem. And the second time. And then the third time. And then we'll say things like this. This thing is nickel and diming me. If we had a new one, there wouldn't be a problem. Did you see what I'm saying? So we hoard it to ourselves to satisfy ourselves, but then the corruption of it is never satisfying. Do you understand? And look, guys, this is the time of year when we should know those lessons, isn't it true? Because this is Christmas time, isn't it? And right now, if you've got kids, they're giving you lists. They're little sticky notes. They're sending you emails if they got email. I mean, they're telling you every time, hey, Dad, can we go to Walmart? Hey, Dad, this is the new thing at my house. Hey, Dad, can I look on Amazon? You know, I guess that's okay because when I was a kid, it was, Dad, can I look at the Sears catalog? Okay? Remember the Wish Book catalog for us older ones? Okay? Now it's, can I look at Amazon? And so they're wanting, and so here Christmas will come, and they'll get a lot of what they want. How long will that satisfaction last? Maybe Christmas Day, yeah. Isn't there a lesson there? It's the same thing for us. And here's what he says. When we buy for ourselves and hoard for ourselves, it corrupts because it fails. It's temporary. But all of that's going to be, he's trying to get him to understand, all of that where we buy for ourselves, we use it for ourselves, is ultimately going to be a testimony against ourselves. Okay? And here's what he says. The greed for corruptible wealth will consume them like a fire. The greed for corruptible wealth will consume them like a fire. Here's a dangerous fine line, folks, that we can all venture into. It's not just the rich people. But if we live our lives trying to satisfy our desires for stuff, ultimately that's going to consume us. Do you understand what I'm saying? If our focus is on self rather than others, then that's going to consume us. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we turn inward with what we want versus what we can do for others, then that's going to consume us. Let me just stop for a moment because some of you might be saying, okay, he's talking about we should give to the church. Now, I'm not talking about that necessarily. I mean, you can. We do try to do ministry here for others. But can I be honest with you? Most of what you have that God gives you, he may be giving you to help out others wisely around you. Did you understand what I'm saying? Wisely around you. And the issue is, are you a giving person? That doesn't mean how much are you giving to the offering. It means how much are you giving to others around you when you see a need and the Holy Spirit says to you, hey, that person over there has got a need. Can you help? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if you're just living for yourself, you're consumed by yourself and what you want, and I'll be honest with you, it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. In fact, their focus was hoarding their wealth for themselves. That's the issue here. Their focus is on just them, all right? That greed is manifested in a focus of just doing it for themselves. But here's the problem with that. They fail to recognize the nature of the times and their use of resources to that end. Okay, let me ask you a question. How many believe these are the last days? Okay. It's most of you. Now let me ask you this question. Do you really believe that? No, don't answer it. Do you really believe that? Because if you do, it's going to be reflected in where your focus is. It's going to be reflected in whether your focus is on yourself and taking care of self and making sure you're doing okay and your plans and dreams and all of that, or if it's going to be others focused. That's reality. So the question is, these folks were hoarding it all for themselves. They were failing to recognize the times. Are you recognizing the times? Here's their condemnation. Look with me at verse 4 through 6. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mow your fields, which you've kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You live on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your heart as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Here's what's going on. First of all, he's going to talk about their condemnation. First of all, their abuse of workers. They abused their workers by paying them less than their dues. Hey, there's a reckoning day for everything, folks. And he's just flat out saying it. And this happens. This doesn't happen today in our culture, right? We have perfect employers today, don't we? Perfect supervisors. We have perfect employees too, right? No, we don't. But what he's saying is that when people are so focused on themselves and doing it for themselves and hoarding it for themselves, especially if they have workers under them, they're going to cheat their workers. Because it's all about them. And here's what he says. There, look at what he says there in verse 4. I think it's interesting. Their wages, which they've kept out, cry out. So let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. So let's say you're doing work. What's the minimum wage right now? $7.25, okay? Let's say you pay somebody $7.50. You're a little bit above minimum, okay? But maybe you should pay them $10. Because it's a $10 job. And you could pay them $10. But you're only paying them $7.50. You're keeping $2.50 back. Now, here's what James is saying. That $2.50 is crying out to God at condemnation against you. That $2.50 is crying out to God a condemnation against you. That's reality. You know what I'm saying? How many of you have done this? I mean, we all go to restaurants. We have waitresses. And I think everybody is aware, if you go to any restaurant here in town that has a waitress, do they get $7.25 an hour? No, they get a waitress wage that's set by law. It's not very much, is it? But they live on what? They primarily get their pay through what? Tips, okay? What right now is the acceptable tip range? 15, anywhere from 10 to 20, 15%. So you have a waitress, even if she isn't the best waitress, and she's irritating, and you don't know why she isn't the best waitress that day. She may have had a rough day. She maybe has more than she can get to, but she can't get to you. So you decide you're going to teach her a lesson. Instead of 10%, how many of you heard this one? You leave her a penny. People do that. Inside your track. Do you know what I'm saying? You should have given her what? At least 10. The difference between that and a penny, what is he saying here? That's your judgment against you. That cries out against you. Do you understand what I'm saying? That cries out against you. This is what he's talking about. When your focus is on yourself, that cries out against you. Here's the injustice. The injustice of their fraud cries out against them. So the injustice of it cries out against them. Here, let me just stop for a moment. I hear people all the time, boy, how come people like that just get away with that? They just seem like they're getting away with it. Let me just go ahead and tell you, folks, they're not going to get away with it. Maybe they're going to get away with it in your lifetime, but ultimately they're not going to get away with it because ultimately there is a reckoning. there is a judgment. And the injustice of what they have done will what? Cry out against them. Okay? Cry out against them. Here's the other thing. God Himself hears the cries against them. God hears them. God hears them. So then notice their materialism. They live a soft life of pleasure and luxury. So rather than use it, and maybe even sacrifice for the sake of others, they use it for themselves, and they live really a life of luxury and softness, and life is really good. Here's the other thing. They indulge themselves with whatever they want. That seems to be getting worse. Have you noticed that? I remember as a boy when I can remember going to the grocery store with my mom. And why I can remember this is because my mom used to buy the can of Hi-C Punch. Do you remember that, guys? Okay, the can. Came in a can. And I can remember the grocery store being a commissary. It was on a base, okay? And I can remember it being the size of Goodman's. Maybe a little bit bigger. Now, if I go to the same commissary, they built a whole new one on the same base. If I go with my mom, she takes me in there. So she goes to the commissary, and now it's three times the size because there's even now even more selections. How many of you know that? Remember when you went to the grocery store? I mean, and now what they have, and you just don't have creamer. We've got peppermint mocha. But remember when there was just one creamer? What's going on? We live in a culture, in a society, where now we can indulge ourselves with what? Whatever we want. But see, why is that? Because we live in a culture of indulgence. And so he's warning them, he's condemning them here because they are living a life where they indulge themselves in whatever they want. Now here's what they're doing. James tells them that they are exactly fattening themselves for slaughter. Huh? He says they're like cows. Or pigs. Well, he wouldn't say pigs because he's Jewish. But he said they're like cows who are fattening themselves for eventual slaughter. They're like, oh yeah, great silage today. Wow, he's got corn and apples in here. Wow. You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden it comes to, why is he leading me to that stall all by himself? And what's that rifle in his hand? You know what I'm saying? You know, and this is the reality. This is what you're doing. He's saying, by the indulgence of ourselves and what we want, we are fattening ourselves up for what? Slaughter. Then finally, he says this. Self-oriented, they oppress the poor, the innocent, through the courts. Well, that doesn't apply to me, George. Doesn't apply to me because I'm not rich. I'm not taking anybody to court. Oh, yeah, we're taking people to court today, too. We live in a culture today that allows the poor to take people to court, too. Ultimately, folks, can I be honest with you? We all pay. We all pay. Now, are there legitimate cases that I'm doing a general thing. Are there legitimate cases to sue people? Yes. But there are trivial things being sued. Do you know what I'm saying? Trivial things. Here's the point. James is saying all of that when our focus is on ourself, it's only going to lead to problems and judgment. But our focus needs to be where? With others. Okay, so where's the lesson in this? You might be saying, well, it's pretty tough to be a rich guy. I don't want to be in his shoes later on. Well, that's true if his focus is on himself. But here's the lesson for all of us. James is saying, what has you? Do your dreams for stuff and hoarding for yourself, have you? Or are you consumed with the reality of reaching out to others around you? That's the issue. Because if you're focused on self and indulging yourself, that's only going to lead to judgment. That's only going to lead to detriment. Where the focus needs to be on what? Reaching out towards others.